It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Good morning. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, I hope you made it through 4th of July and burned some charcoal or used up some propane as you were cooking outside for your family and friends. I know that I went 4 for 4 Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, cooking for people, doing all kinds of stuff. It was fun. One of them was a lot of work because it was a bigger party, about 60 people, but that was fun too. We'll talk a little bit about that. But you're our listening Grilling Guys. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, Jop. Thanks, Conrad. Welcome to the Grilling Guys. It's still the smokiest show on the airwaves, bar none. But you can find us on thegrillingguys.com and get over there and give that site a look. You can find out how to get the show sent to your phone in case you miss us on Saturdays. You can check out all of our sponsors and click to the links and get deals on all sorts of things like MyPillow. And yeah, just a lot of great stuff. But it is weird summer.
You know, it is. We've got some decorative grasses, right? Those ones that grow real tall and stuff. They generally, we have a big one and a little one, and the little one was a split off the big one, right? And for 2 years, it was kind of like stunted growth.
Gonna die.
Yeah, right. And you're like, ah, man, I don't know if it's gonna make it, but we just left it there. This year, it's as big as the sister that it came from. It's weird. I mean, it from last year to this year, it's monstrous. And I don't know if it just takes 3 years or there's something in, but the other one that we took it from is huge now, too.
It identifies as a sister?
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Well, that's why, you know, I don't know, mother, daughter, I don't know what it is. Right? Well, it's a plant relationship. It was a piece of the mothership, put it that way.
Well, thanks to our wonderful friend, that Polish girl, catering. She hooked me up with a couple of cats for my barn.
Oh, you got them now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What, do they have names, Bob? We got to name them.
Well, no, we don't.
Oh.
Well, we have grandchildren having a contest to name them.
Oh, so. There you go. Even better. Yes. Even better. Yeah.
Yeah. One of them's name was Cece, so it's already named after one of my granddaughters. But the kids all want to name them, so they're, I think, having an arm wrestling competition or something.
Yeah.
She's like a foster mom for kitties.
Right. Yeah.
She raises them. So
you need to have someone else but you be the judge.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, I'm just the one that feeds them and takes care of them and makes sure that the hawks don't take them away.
Right. Are they kittens or?
Well, they look like they're about 3-4 months old. They're pretty good size, but they're very skittish yet.
Okay.
I have the garage sealed up. They can use the pet door, but they haven't figured it out.
Yep.
And, of course, the other cat, Beef, she can go in and out. And
yeah, I'm betting the grandkids didn't name that one.
No, my daughter Emily did. So, you know, I'm working back in the HVAC business and having fun helping HVAC contractors and getting to see a lot of old friends. It's just kind of cool how many guys are still in the business, and we're all getting old. But the other day, well, the company is very large, and it distributes through about half of the country. And so they do things in mass. So they sent out these hot dog machines, these rollers, to every branch. And so, of course, anytime anything food comes in, the branch manager just looks at me and goes,
So he's already figured it out. You've been there a few weeks, and you're
No, they're dying to kick that stuff off on somebody because, well, so I used the hot dog roller machine for the first time. They're actually pretty cool.
What's this?
Like you see it. Speedway.
Gas station.
You just put the hot dogs on there, you set the different temperatures and whatever you want, and let it roll for half an hour, and you've got perfect hot dogs.
They're shiny, because
you don't burn them.
You don't burn them because it's just on a hot roller, and it just keeps turning and turning until the thing starts sweating.
Yeah, they get a little crispy on the outside.
When is one of you two guys going to have one of these at home by the pool?
Well, the branch manager.
That's what I have a grill for.
The branch manager told me, he said, I got one of these at home. Oh. I said, well, then why don't you do it? He said, I've never used it.
Oh, exactly.
But
I think it takes a while to heat up, doesn't it? Or did it heat up pretty quick?
Pretty quick.
Did it?
Yeah, surprisingly.
They're the little steel rollers, right? And you put the burger or the dog between two of them.
Right.
And it just rolls.
And you're supposed to leave it there for about, what, 8 to 10 hours before you put them out for the public?
According to a gas station, that's exactly right, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think most of them pay pretty close attention to them, but they only get better with time.
Oh, no. I'm not sure I'm up on that one, but whatever. Boy. I'll take your word for it.
So I got an interesting phone call from an old classmate. Next year, our little town of Reed City turns 150. So they're doing a big celebration. And apparently the city manager, his last name is Saladin. There's quite a few Saladins up there.
Is that a Shriner? Isn't that the temple? The Saladin temple is the Shriners?
Yeah. Did you drive in little baby cars to school when you were a kid?
And the red hat, right? Yeah.
There are quite a few families up there named Saladin. Anyway, they wear ball caps and they break knees. And anyway, this guy is a fan of the show.
Oh.
So he told this friend of mine to get a hold of me and see if I would put on a barbecue competition during that thing up there. So I will be helping them organize a barbecue competition in Reed City for their 150th birthday. And that's going to be fun.
Have fun with that. You and I did that out at Berlin Raceway. Uh-oh.
Yeah, but that's okay. We're going to do this one. The whole town comes home once a year. Because it's a small town, most of us grow up and leave. But once a year, they have Crossroads, and it's a huge event, and the beer tent is gigantic.
I know you've been up there before and participated in that. You brought a tent up and made some barbecue and tried to sell it.
We're all paying attention now. You said beer tent.
Oh, right. The beer tent is gigantic.
Ooh. Legendary.
Know no one in it.
Right.
So my buddy lives right down the street from there. Brian Allen lives right down the street from there. So I can normally like pitch a tent in his yard or stay in his guest house and just walk to his house when it's done. But that will be next year, and stay tuned because we're going to have some fun up there.
I'm wondering if I'm getting roped into this. I probably should block the date off on my calendar, and I can just be your grill bitch.
Well, I'm not going to grill. I'm just going to kind of organize it for them and show them what it should be done.
Oh.
And then I'm going to help them get some local judges.
Celebrity judge?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe the city manager. Saladin, you're on my list.
Right.
Yeah. But anyway, that's where I went to middle school and high school, and there's a lot of fond memories of that town.
Sure.
Are the
officers that used to chase you around in your hot rod still there?
Or? Mostly dead.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, boy.
There's some interesting things have come out of that town, though. A guy named J.T. Miller moved in 1946 with, like, pennies in his pocket. And when he retired, he owned Miller Industries, and he had a huge, it's called Tube Light now.
Okay.
And he had a huge aluminum manufacturing business and built an airport there and cool little
Local legend.
Nartron, big business that builds generators for cars, alternators. And then my mother and all of her girlfriends worked at a place called, can't think of the name of it now. It's a giant company that's all over the country, made parts for NASA.
Okay.
Gardner Denver. And now there's all that's there is Yoplait. Yeah. Which is gigantic now,
right?
But most of the manufacturing is left.
Well, there we have it—a history of Reed City.
There, hey, no.
I was always wondering.
Yeah,
it's coming back, baby.
Right. 150 years of accomplishment, right there, summarized at the Grilling Guys in the first segment.
There's quite a bit more.
You can't get this anywhere
else
on
quite
radio.
A bit more.
I'm telling you that right now. All started around somebody wants to have a barbecue contest.
Let me tell you about hitchhiking.
Right. Yeah.
Oh. Exactly. Okay.
But anyway, so that's interesting. But anyway, you know what? You gotta support your heritage, respect it, and go back there and help them out. And if you need me to be there to help you organize things, I will. If not, good luck with that. So Yeah, but anyway,
it'll be interesting.
At some point, we're going to get to barbecue, and I guess we did. We had a hot dog roller, but we're keeping it natural this week. And Bob is a big nature freak and likes to do things the right way. So we're going to talk about a few of those and maybe some barbecue sauce and how to make it. So you're listening to The Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
If you're feeling hungry and you want something to eat, make yourself a list and head on down to Sobey Meats, where our staff is always friendly and they all know our creed. Come on down to Sobey's and let us meet your needs. We have kielbasa, kapusta, chicken, pork, and beef, seafood and hot sticks, a snack that can't be beat. Dairy and deli, groceries, beer and wine. And once you shop at Sobey's, you'll shop there all the time.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats. Please stop by to see Teresa and myself and the whole gang for good old-fashioned service at 3450 Remembrance Road. Make sure you visit SobeyMeats.com for our specials, and thank you for your support.
So when you're feeling hungry and you want something to eat, make yourself a list and head on down to Sobey Meats. And if you're really satisfied, there's one way we can tell. When you leave the store, make sure you ring our bell.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, if you're just tuning in, good for you. The first segment was a little bit of a rabbit hole, but we got out and we're back. So, but anyway,
we had rabbits in Reed City,
right?
Too.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
So you know, every once in a while we'll take a little turn like that, but the whole show might be because we're talking about making some of the seasonings and sauces. That you use, we're doing it
on natural,
yeah, from scratch, and not a lot of people do it. But for those of you that do, maybe we got some tips and techniques here. But
well, we wanted to go down the all natural routine because largely it was inspired by a recipe I found on X to make your own all natural Gatorade, and I only now understand how cool that is because we've all had Gatorade for years and years and years, but. My youngest son, Jordan, and his wife are very, very health conscious, and he was showing me the things that are in Gatorade, and he quit drinking it. So I saw this all-natural recipe, and it caught my interest, and then I watched the video on it, and I thought, well, that's kind of cool. I'm, you know, because it supplies you with electrolytes, and that's what you need when you're sweating real hard.
Right, and you can do a lot of that in this weather.
Salt,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, and a raincoat, but so it's kind of cool. I won't bore you too long with it, but it's basically ginger, and you cut it into cubes with the skin on. You add maple syrup, and I'm going to put this on the website, maple syrup and apple cider vinegar, otherwise in the Grilling Guys, we call it ACV.
Well, there's an acronym for everything.
And then three lemons. And basically, you chop the ginger up into cubes, put it in a pot, 6 cups of water, bring it to a boil, and you shut it off and you steep it for 20 minutes. And then in a large jar, you add maple syrup, lemon juice from those three lemons, the apple cider vinegar, and then you strain the ginger liquid into the jar, and you mix it well, and then you chill it. And you, of course, add water to get it to where the level you want it. Based on taste, but you know, all you parents out there that are doing all these sports events, you're buying all these little jar, these little bottles of Gatorade, thinking, "Oh, I'm hydrating my kid." But I would urge you to research what you are feeding your kids because unfortunately, the USDA in this country doesn't necessarily, our foods can't be sold in a lot of countries. Well, and that bothers me. I don't know why we are allowing giant corporations to run those regulations, and we really need to kind of pay attention to what we're putting in our bodies. The other thing that I did during the Big C event was I made my own. It's not really hydroxychloroquine, but it is. I think you know, the Brits used to drink tonic water. Right? The Brits would drink tonic
and then the
water.
Irish took it over and put gin in it, yeah. And it was all over.
Made it better.
Right, yep. It was all over.
Well, because scurvy was a big thing, and tonic, quinine, combats scurvy. Matter of fact, they would give their sailors limes, which is why we ended up calling them limeys. Because they would come back with scurvy.
The history we're learning today.
Yeah, wow. They come
is
back.
I'm just tuning in. Is this Reed City? Is that
England?
England.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, we went across the pond while you were gone.
Reed City is a German town, by the way.
Oh, okay.
A lot of sauerkraut in that town, but
Shriners.
So and yes, he just doesn't give up. So the manager of Reed City. I want you to know this guy's name is Randy Joppy.
Yes,
you can
right.
Tell your police force, keep an eye on 131. He goes up north a bunch.
Right. Yeah. License plate number.
Yes. Yeah. So anyway, quinine is very good when you get these certain illnesses. And that's why I made my own version of, I thought it was hydroxychloroquine. That's what the video was saying, but I think technically it's more of a quinine tincture, and it's really simple. You just you cut up the rinds of like 3 pink grapefruit and maybe 3 lemons, and there's plenty of recipes on YouTube and various places. And then
you put it in
to make your own tincture. So if you're getting sick, this is something you can drink that will drive out viruses out of your body.
Okay.
Like when the Big C was here, remember I had to stay at your house because we got something. And
yeah,
they
it
said
must
it,
be you didn't have this recipe there because you were there
that?
For a month. You came for a weekend and stayed a month. Yeah.
Technically 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Your dog still loves me more than you.
Right.
But so you basically, you boil this for about 5 minutes and then you drain it and you put it in a jar and put it in your fridge and you take a little shot every day. And that is a tonic, a tincture. That will help you fight off the flu, colds, all sorts of things. And it's safe. It's cheaper.
Grilling Guys, word of the day.
Wow.
Tincture.
It's all natural.
Tincture. All natural.
Randy, you're here to learn.
I am.
You guys have gone on some tangents before, right, but yeah, my goodness.
Yeah, this is, we went from
when you're doing all natural,
and, yeah.
You know, why can't you make your own cures like Granny used to do on the Beverly Hillbillies?
Yeah.
I'm going to have you make a little something to flush me out after a weekend of barbecue. I think that a Monday.
I don't do that part.
Right. Yeah.
My friend's a plumber, and he told me to stay away from it.
Yeah. Right. Speaking of a weekend of barbecue, last week when we talked about it, this is not all natural, but kind of. I had to make 400 chicken wings.
How'd that go?
And you know what? I've got that big old Good One smoker, and it took all 4 racks to get 400 of them. I got them from Sobey in there, those big party wings, so they were larger than the average wing. And so I ended up putting butcher paper down on all of the racks, and because I didn't want one dripping on the next, because I had all-natural buttermilk I had marinated them in for about 6 hours. I just got up at 6 in the morning. I had to be at this
event. You
put
butcher paper on the racks?
I did, because they were wet. I didn't drain them. I didn't dry them. I just took them right out of the buttermilk and put it on. And when I started doing the first one, it was just running all over everything that was below it. So
what's wrong with that?
Well, I didn't want it. I just put it on butcher paper because I wanted them to not do that, right, as they drip. Because I didn't think the bottom ones would get done if they were constantly getting dripped on and wet, right? So anyway, I did it in the buttermilk, which was great. It gave them a nice little tang and flavor. But I took them over there unsauced, right? So what I ended up doing was taking the cooked wings and
smoked,
right? And when the owner of the place that I was there, he goes, you know, I like my wings crispy. They weren't, right? Because they came out of the smoker. So I put them in, I had an oven to work with, and I put them in a broiler and put them under there. I'd sauce them first, and then I put them on a big sheet, a cookie sheet, and put them in there and broil them up. And they turned out really good. I had to watch it because they went from tacky to burned in a pretty quick period of time.
Is it a new oven?
What? Yeah.
So it's an infrared broiler?
Right. I don't know.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, but it was a wall oven. But anyway, they turned out great. But doing 400 wings at 40 at a time, that's a lot of in and out of the oven the whole night that I was there. But
you could have used a hot dog roller.
Yeah, I know. A wing dinger. A wing dinger. But anyway, enough about that. So coming up next, maybe we'll do something that's relevant to barbecue, and that is, how about some homemade barbecue sauce? You're listening to Grilling Guys.
Ding,
stick
ding,
with
ding,
us.
Ding,
we'll be
ding,
back.
Ding. Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com. Now hit me.
Oh, yeah. The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, Barbecue and Bob and I were talking about some of the cooking I did this weekend. And we were at the end of the segment, we were talking about the 400 wings I did.
Wing roller.
Right, yeah. He asked me during the break what sauces I used. And I will tell you that I did a garlic parm. I did a sweeter barbecue. And I also did just a regular buffalo sauce, a little spice to it. And by far, the garlic parm were the most popular.
I bet the women went for the garlic parm.
Yeah, right. And there was like 60 people there. So it was a lot of wings for that many people, but they got eaten. I mean, you know, you got a guy that'll throw 10 or 12 of them on a plate and roll with it.
And those are Sobey's big party wings?
Yeah, yeah. They're great. He did a great job. I've got a brisket from him, too. And boy, they ate that up. You know, I was about a 10-pounder, 12-pounder. And by the time you trim it, you take maybe 25% of the weight out of it with those big veins that are in it of the fat.
I have a friend that did his first brisket, and he said he found a 20-pound brisket.
Wow.
Biggest I ever did was 18, and it was gigantic.
Yeah.
I've never seen a 20-pound brisket.
Yep.
That's pretty big for your first one.
Right.
So homemade barbecue sauce.
Yep.
This is something that a lot of people don't bother with. And again, if you're going all natural, if you're trying to get the corn syrups and all these terrible things out of your diet because they're not good for you, this is one thing you can do. And this time of year, like when you go to these farmers markets, especially later on in the summer and the fall when the tomatoes are just coming in hot and heavy and they're a good price and maybe they're starting to discount them because they're getting overripe, that's the tomato you want for barbecue sauce or any kind of tomato sauce. And I'll tell you, the simple way to do it is just throw the whole darn thing in a pot and cook them. You don't need to blanch them and take the skin off. That's all the vitamins. And you don't have to worry about that little stem because it's generally cooked down to nothing. And if you do end up with a few bigger chunks by the time the thing cooks down for a couple hours, you can always just pull those out with, you know, using a...
Strain it out.
Yes, strainer spoon. But making your own tomato sauce is a fantastic exercise. Turning it into barbecue sauce is super simple. And again, we're going to go back to the ACV, apple cider vinegar. We're going to use some brown sugar. And then whatever profile you want to take off in, there's no rules on this. You know, I see all these intricate recipes and these people ranting and raving about how this and that. You can just play with it and use your favorite spices or what you happen to tend to like the most or use the most, what your mom or dad taught you, and come up with your own profiles. And if you cook a big pot of this sauce down, and if you do a bunch of tomatoes, you can end up with a bunch of tomato sauce. You can actually just can it. You don't have to make it all into barbecue sauce. Homemade tomato sauce is absolutely fantastic.
Yep. I did some research back a few years ago about different styles of barbecue sauce, and we came up with South Carolina, Kansas City, St. Louis, Texas, Memphis, and Alabama. Okay, is what we really, they're regional, obviously, as you can understand. But, and then what we did is we put about 20 ingredients down the side of the page and the types of sauces across the top, made a little grid, right? Every one of these barbecue sauces has vinegar in it.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? That's where they start.
Because the original barbecue sauce was made from what? Ketchup.
Right.
And ketchup is tomato sauce and vinegar.
Right. So your Kansas City, we'll start with that one. That is a vinegar and tomato sauce. And then when Bob said, well, you can put anything you want in it to give it some profile, Kansas City is a little cayenne pepper, obviously some salt, talked about the brown sugar, but then they'll do garlic, paprika, and chili powder in that as well. So you can see that Kansas City wants a little bite, a little bit of spice in there, especially when you're looking at the chili powder. The paprika can be smoked paprika. It could be just a regular paprika, whatever it is. But and then you might add a little water in there to thin it if it gets a little too thick, or you could use olive oil for that too. But.
And that town, I'll tell you, there's a famous spice store downtown called Bird's.
Okay.
And that town, for some reason, became an absolute hub for spices. So one of the reasons their barbecue culture got to be so rich, other than the club they formed, the KCBS, was because of the fantastic, and it's in the middle of the country. It's not on a shipping port. You know, it's not like they had docks coming in from India with, you know, all these exotic spices on them. You're in the middle of the country, as landlocked as you can be. But you walk into Bird's, I think it's called Bird's, and we've got spice stores around the country, and there's one in Traverse City I love to go to, the Spice Merchant, I think it's called. And you go into a spice store like that and just take a breath or two and see what your senses are doing and what your body is actually telling you is there's all sorts of things here that are tantalizing me, and that's what stimulates your appetite. So if you're going to make an apple, if you're going to make saying apple, Randy loves apple barbecue sauce.
Yep, that's not on this list.
No, but if you're going to make a barbecue sauce, you might visit a spice store like that and just experiment and talk to the people that work there, because they know so much about spices that you've maybe never even heard before.
Right.
And what does it say about Memphis?
Memphis is a vinegar-based, pepper, cayenne pepper, celery salt, brown sugar, garlic, a little olive oil, chili powder, Worcestershire, and
there's
some dry
the key.
Mustard.
That's what I was looking for, the Worcestershire. Memphis
that puts
profiles,
a little tang.
Memphis profiles. For one thing, like ribs in particular, if you go to Memphis and get ribs, you're generally not going to see sauce. Kansas City, yeah, they're very often going to be sauced. St. Louis, they're always going to be sauced. But Memphis, nah, they're a dry rub Worcestershire profile.
That's a powdered Worcestershire that goes in that, right?
In their seasonings, yeah. But in terms of the profile itself, you know, if you just think of Worcestershire sauce, it's got a bit of a bite to it.
Yep.
And when you have those other chilies and things in there and you add that to it, it gives it a unique, again, back to that flavor profile and why I would encourage you to go to a spice store and just really explore, but just pay attention to what your senses do when you first walk in.
Yeah.
It's like walking into a bakery or Vicky's pasty shop.
Right,
you
know, right.
You immediately go, oh my gosh, something smells fantastic.
Right.
Well, there's hundreds of things in those stores that will do that to you.
I want you to cover one more sauce, because you introduced me to this, and it's an Alabama sauce, that Big Bob Gibson.
Oh, yeah.
You brought me a bottle of it. But again, a vinegar base, black pepper, a little salt, brown sugar, garlic, paprika, but the magic is it's a mayonnaise in it as well as a little lemon juice.
Right. It's not a tomato sauce at all.
Right.
They call it Alabama White.
Right.
Big Bob Gibson made it famous, but I don't know that he came up with it. He simply was a very famous barbecue guy that ended up with a restaurant. His granddaughter owns the restaurants now. There's two or three of them. His granddaughter's husband is Chris Lilly, who's on the Food Network. On, you know, he's a pretty famous barbecue guy now.
Right.
We've had him on the show. But that white sauce, what you typically do, and a lot of people use it in the wrong way, but what that was intended to do and what they'll do, if you go to Big Bob Gibson's restaurants in Decatur, and if you're getting off, if you're going down to Gulf Shores, you'll notice there's an exit for Huntsville, a couple of them.
Yep.
That same exit goes to Decatur. Go to Decatur. And that white sauce, they pull the chicken out of the smoker and they dip it.
Okay. So it's not cooked with it on there. It's a serving sauce.
And you don't pour it on when there's a platter and make it all thick and white. You dip it in, and by the time you serve it, it's kind of black.
Okay.
But the flavor's unique. It's very different. It's very good.
Yeah, cool. Well, anyway, coming up next, we're going to keep this variety show going, and we might talk about some pre-made rubs in your kitchen and how you could use those with the sauce to make a great flavor profile. You're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Got to feed that boy.
You are getting your man card pulled.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we appreciate you tuning in each and every week. It's in the middle of the summer. If you're not in full smoker, grill, pizza oven mode, you listen to the wrong show, because this is what we all do this time of year. Bob and I both have pools in our backyard, and in this hot, humid weather that we have this time of year, there's nothing better than having a few people over to the pool and then firing up the equipment, albeit junky or good. We fire up the equipment and make a bunch of food for the people that are hanging out with us. I went 4 for 4 Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday last weekend on that long holiday weekend of having people over and doing that. And while I was tired at the end of the day on Sunday, you look back and it was like, yeah, that was a lot of fun, man. When we crushed some cans and I have a little tub on my deck where we put the empties, right? You got empty.
Yeah, it's funny. Everybody comes over and they just hand you their meat.
Yeah,
here.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, when I was a younger man, you couldn't beg that out of people. Now it's like, here you go, just have this. Would you cook it? And the other thing is when people come over, they leave their leftovers. And you know, so by Sunday, you've got 19 packages of leftover something all in. We've got these little storage tubs because they're efficient. They stack up good in the fridge, and you can get a bunch of them in there. But so now it's Monday. You come home from work, and it's like, wow. There's a lot of like pasta salads and potato salads and just enough of it that nobody wanted to take it back home with them,
right.
But they left it all at your place. So, yeah.
The dog eats well.
Well, yeah, she
does.
It's
the best time of year.
Right,
so,
it is.
So I want to talk about, you know, back in the day when I was doing all that Kansas City work, one of the factories I worked for was a spice company. And again, your senses when you walk in that giant plant, just like the barbecue sauce guy's original one. The aromas are fantastic. But what I learned from watching those production sites is it's really not that hard. They just do it in a large mechanized way.
Right.
So you're basically playing around with, again, some of the basics. And for a rub or a spice, some of your basics are going to be sugar and salt.
Right.
And it's that simple. Now, a lot of people will tell you only brown sugar. Well, I'll tell you what, if you're making your own rub, plain white sugar blends much better than brown sugar.
Right.
But you can play with things like mustard seed, powdered mustard, paprika, of course. Everybody goes nuts with paprika.
And there's several types of paprika, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that's what, you know, they're more spicy. Some are like almost a little hot. Some are smoky.
Yeah, and I've got a bunch of paprika. So if you ever need any, let me know.
Yeah. I've watched you use it.
But so you can actually just play with your own, again, just like making the sauce. What did your mom do? What did your favorite cook do? What did the guy at deer camp that made that killer chili, what did he do? You know?
Right.
Ethnicity has to do something with it, I guess, but has something to do with it. But I would tell you one thing that works really nice is, again, back to McCormick's or wherever you get your spices, they invented the spice business. Lemon zest. That is fantastic to put in a rub. And you can buy a bottle of lemon zest. You don't have to...
you can zest your own.
Yeah.
I mean, buy a lemon and it's just a little grater and you want the
peel. No,
but
if you're making a rub, you want dry ingredients. Because what I'm going to tell you to do is blend all this stuff together and save your old spice bottles and then bottle it up. I mean, that stuff you gave me was fantastic. You found it at Costco.
Yeah, it's called Kinders.
That
K-I-N-D-E-R-S.
Is so nice.
Simple. Salt, pepper, and garlic.
Yeah, make it yourself.
Right.
But why? Kinders is so cheap at Costco.
Yeah, right. But it is very good. And, you know, I think that the difference is maybe is the ratio of how much garlic, how much salt, and
how much
pepper.
And that's where the playing comes in. So when you're playing, do small samples.
Right.
And measure and take notes. Because it does matter. You're absolutely right. And sometimes just a little bit of something will help it out, like thyme, for example, or marjoram, or whatever, again, rosemary.
Yeah, I've always told you, Bob, the only rosemary I want in the kitchen has got an apron on because I don't like cooking with rosemary. Some people like it. I'm just not fond
You're
of the flavor.
You're insulting a portion of our listeners.
Yeah. No. I would respect if there was a lady named Rosemary in my kitchen with an apron on. That'd be kind of cool.
Anything else?
No.
Just an apron.
Hello.
Right. Well, you know, it's my fantasy. Let me live it, babe.
Again, trying to think all natural.
Right. Well, I was. See, look at the tie-in right there. That is amazing radio.
Mr. Segway. Mr. U-turn is more like it.
Right. Well, don't talk to me about a hot dog roller in the Saladin Temple in Reed City. That's where we started this whole day.
Now it's a temple. Yes. Okay. I'm not a Freemason.
No. All right.
But making back to spices.
Yep.
Making your own spices can be a lot of fun. And if you like to cook with your wife or your husband, depending on who I'm talking to,
right?
Maybe this is a cool little event you can do for that Wednesday night date night if you don't get out. Let's say you play golf on Wednesday nights and it rains. Well, maybe you go nuts in the spice cabinet.
Sure.
And I don't know. I think most people have a lot of spices built up in their spice cabinet, and some of them are getting whiskers on them.
Right.
So let's haul them out and let's start making some profiles and let's use up those old bottles and save the bottles, make some labels and play around with some blends. And you don't have to put it on something to try it. You can literally just take a little pinch of it with your fingers and taste it and see if it's a flavor you like.
Right.
And there is something called powdered Worcestershire that I would tell you Kent Butcher Supply has. And that is a darn good thing to use because back to that Memphis profile, which you know I'm, even though I worked in Kansas City, Memphis caught my attention.
Yep, it is. It's very good on chicken. If you can find a Memphis-style rub, it works very well on chicken. It's got a little citrus in
Sobeys
it.
Sobeys has a few of them with a bunch of it, and it's called Pig's Ass and Rub Some Butt.
Right.
They're both the same company I used to work for.
Yeah.
And they're very similar. But so if you want to play around with some heat, I would tell you there's lots of different peppers to use. Cayenne's a nice one. Not as bad as it sounds. Chipotle, you can make your own chipotle. If you've got a bunch of jalapenos in your garden, just roast them and let them dry out and then grind them.
Right. And that's really good, too.
And if you want to keep the seeds in there, grind the seeds up with it.
Yep.
Because that fiber that holds the seeds together is all the heat.
Right. It's not the seeds.
And what do you call that fiber?
I can't remember.
Placental.
Right. I can't remember, Bob. Here we go. We're all natural again.
That's where your capsicum comes from. It's good for you.
Right.
It's good for you. We're only getting older.
Right.
Every day, you want to pay attention to what you put in your body.
Yep.
Because, as Conrad will tell you, it all comes out.
Right. Yeah. Speaking of jalapenos, back to the weekend cooking.
A jalapeno came out?
No. It did after it went in. I made some poppers, right? Because everybody likes those,
nice.
Right?
Sure.
Jalapeno poppers.
How'd you do it?
Well, it was cream cheese and some grilled off sausage and some pineapple. My wife likes that combination inside the pepper, the sweet and the heat.
Do you buy the finely chunked pineapple to do that with?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever they call it.
Yeah.
Crushed.
It's almost like a
crushed.
Slurry.
Yeah. Crushed.
Yeah. It's like a slurry.
Look you at
mix it
you,
in.
Food man.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Mrs. Conrad must have made some of those.
Shut the hell.
Shut the front door.
Send him to the store for it.
Is this show over? Yeah.
Right. But anyway, my point is that you can buy a bag of jalapenos and 90% of them are reasonably mild. And then there's always one or two that just smoke somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, it's always one of the ladies that gets it, right? A dude's just going to take a bite of it, wince a little bit. But, the ladies... It kind of overreact.
Well, there are some women that really like hot peppers.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, it just happened to one of my lady guests, and it's like, woo, man, what did you do with these peppers?
I always heard that Lori Morgan, the country star, would use hot peppers and jalapenos before she'd go on stage to kind of lubricate her throat, her voice.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
So there's something for you.
She was singing.
And then the next day, she said, I got to find something different.
Yeah. She was singing a tune, I can tell you, when she ate it, but it wasn't country.
Well, lemon water is what I used to use.
To clean the palate?
Yep.
Yep.
Back in my singing days.
And the other thing is when you're cleaning jalapenos, use a glove, because if you clean them with your bare hands, and then even 20 minutes later, rub your eye, it's going to burn.
Or go take a leak.
Yeah, it's going to burn.
Oh, man.
It's going to burn.
Well,
but anyway.
There's a famous story in our house about me canning jalapenos and then going to the bathroom.
Oh, brother.
All right, you've been listening to The Grilling Guys, kind of, and we appreciate you tuning in each every week. Get out in your backyard, fire up a grill, and create some grill envy in your neighborhood. We'll talk with you next week.
And I am the Hot Dog King. See ya.